morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm going to bring this down just a tad so I can see my friend Karina there. Yeah, when Pastor called and asked, and I told him, I said, well, my mom really likes to hear you speak. She hears me, and she's been hearing me forever. And so, but yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your opportunities that you give to us, your provisions that you give to us, and the insight, Father, that you're going to have me share today, Lord, because I really believe that you have a word for us, and me included in this, and so we're going to thank you in advance for where this is going to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
When I began to really think about this, because I have been thinking about it for a while, this last week especially, well, November hit, and of course, your first thought is Thanksgiving. You know, obviously, we need to talk about Thanksgiving. And I began to think about what I was thankful for and all the things the Lord has provided and blessed me with. But it just didn't seem quite exactly where he wanted me. And so I went into the office and I sat and I just began to just pray and began to just really, and the word, one word just kept coming to me as I was researching and thinking and praying. And the word was revival. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, we need to, or Sandy, you need to walk into revival. And I thought, okay, now that's very personal. Usually when you think of revival, you think of a church going into revival and us having this big meeting, and which is not a bad thing at all. But he began to speak to me about my walk and about our walk and about revival. And so as I began to pray, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm a Googler. If you give me a word, I like to look it up. Find out what does that really mean. And so I just Googled the word revival. And there's a lot of different things to do with revival. But the one that touched me was it's an improvement in the condition or strength of something. An improvement in the condition or strength of something. I thought, okay, Lord, that's me. You're wanting me to improve Sandy, my condition, and my strength. He wants me to be revived. And as I was praying about this, he said, Sandy, I want the church to be revived, but individually, I want the church to be revived, individually, not just as a corporate body, but as individuals sitting in this room, he wants us to be revived. And so I thought, okay, Lord, where do we start? And it was like, you start in your heart and you start in your mind. You begin reviving by finding out what's going on in here. Where are you at here? And in your heart and in your mind, an improvement in the condition or strength of my heart or of my mind. It starts first with us. And to make that happen, we have to have an honest examination of ourself. An honest examination of ourself. Now, years ago, I probably have said this before to you, but as the beginning of each year, I like to take an inventory of myself. To find out what's going on with myself. And to be able to do that, I had to do an honest examination of myself. And but the way the Lord used it too was he used other people to show me areas of my life. And it was not fun. It wasn't pleasant to be able to, like, boy, is that what you really think of me? Is that how people really see me? And I had to change some of the things in my own life and in my own heart because he was showing me some areas of my life, an honest examination, not I'm good, I'm sure I'm good. I remember when it happened, it was like this lady was coming to speak for our retreat, and we were a leadership, and she was going to minister to everybody, but she was coming to speak to the board first and talk with us. And the lady had a tremendous word of knowledge ministry, and I thought, there's nothing wrong with me, but Lord, if there's anything at all, maybe you can show me so I can clean myself up before she comes. Well, the first thing he hit was pride. And so it was like an honest examination. Philippians 2, I'm reading all my verses today in the New King James Version, says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of us look not only to our own interests, but also towards the interests of others. That's verses 1 through 4. And so as I began to look through that, it was like the Lord kind of broke that down. And it's like the word selfish ambition and conceit really stuck out in my mind. We are so caught up in ourselves. We are busy people. I don't know about you, but I'm a busy people. I've got like 3 jobs. If you add my husband to it, I've got a 4th one, you know, taking care of the family. There's a lot of things that I do, and sometimes I get so caught up in myself. Then I have ministry. I have ministry in California. I have ministry here in Idaho. There are things that I'm doing, and I get caught up in that. And the Lord was saying, selfish ambition and conceit. I'm not saying I'm conceited, but he was saying to me, Sandy, take a look at what you're doing. What is your ambition? Is your ambition to help the body, or you're just trying to help in my 4 walls? And then the other word was of lowliness in mind, and let us esteem each other better than himself. And it was like, Lord, that means I need to be being more towards my neighbor, being more towards my friends, being more towards family outside of my family. And so questions, as I was sitting there and writing all this, questions began to come up in my mind. And the first one was, do we really care about the people around us? Do we really care? Yeah, we're Christians and we love everybody. Do we really care about the people around us? Do we drive into our driveway, open up the garage, pull the garage door down, and then we come out when we need to, when we're hungry or we got to go to work? You know, I mean, what is the evidence of our care? Are we so wrapped up in our own lives that the other people are interruptions, or are the other people opportunities? And man, it was just like, wow, Lord, I know I've been busy. I know, but he's saying, Sandy, to have a personal revival, to really be able to come out and do what I want you to do and more of what I want you to do, I want you to be able to be what I want you to be. And that is to be a blessing to others, to make a difference in the lives around you. We can be walking revivals. We can be a revival in ourselves, but we can make changes wherever we walk. I'm in this church 14 years now because somebody knocked on my door. Happened to be Pastor and Ty. They knocked on my door and introduced themselves to us because we're just a few doors down. They made an opportunity to come and knock on my door and say, hey, you know, this is who we are and this is where we are and you're welcome to join us. Well, 14 years later, I'm still here because you made a difference. And he's saying, Sandy, that made a difference in your life. What are you doing with other people? You know, we call ourselves Christians. That means Christ-like. Are we being Christ-like? Or am I Sandy-like? Am I looking at people as interruptions? People call me. It's like, dadgum it, I got this and this and this to do. Wait a minute. They need help. They're calling because there's a need. They're calling because there may be an opportunity. Another thing that the Lord put in my heart as I was putting all this together was, can I trust you with true revival? I'm going, whoa, okay, let me really concentrate on what you're really saying here. Can you trust me or can you trust us with true revival? Because when he really does something and begins to move, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to make a difference? Okay, if he steps out and says, okay, I want you to help others, and I'm going to give you opportunities, are we going to take advantage of those opportunities? Or it's like, I had a situation where a lady was almost hit by a car right in front of me. I was in a building, but it was all windows, and I'm sitting in there. And Randy and I were first married. We did not have a washer and a dryer in our house. We moved into my great uncle's house. It says, it's your grandma's, yours? Yeah, great great uncle's house. Her great uncle, my great great uncle. And he built it himself and didn't have a washer and a dryer in the house. And so we would have to go to a little place, and where we lived was kind of sketchy. You know, you wouldn't want to walk around at dark a whole lot. And so here came this lady around the corner on the back of a motorcycle with a guy, and they're in black leathers and they look pretty rough. And he drops her off with her laundry. And I'm going, and she's coming in here. And I'm going, okay, I'm cool. Now I'm younger, way younger. We were just married, and because we've married 44 years now. And I'm sitting in there going, okay, I'm cool. And as she was walking across the street, it was just getting dusk, and around a corner came this car really fast. And she was right smack in the middle of the road, and this car came around, and he when he finally did see her, he put on his brakes, and he was going sideways right at her. And she didn't move. She was frozen, just stood there. And when he was done skidding, she could put her hand out and touch the car. It was that close. And the Lord spoke to my heart and says, when she walks in here, ask her, would she know where she would have went if she would have been squashed by that car? I'm going, get thee behind me. It wasn't God. God don't want me talking to that woman. She's coming in here. She's rough. She's got black leathers on. She's got tattoos and things everywhere and stuff places. And I'm scared of the, I'm honest to goodness, I'm not going to lie, I was a little intimidated, like a whole bunch. And she walks in, and I'm like, hello, you know. And the Lord's saying, speak to her. And I will tell you that I could not speak to that woman. And that has bothered me my whole life. Now, the Lord has forgiven me, and the Lord gave me peace that somebody got the blessing for speaking to that woman. But it wasn't me. There was something inside of me that stopped me. And the Lord was saying, if I give you opportunity, Sandy, can I trust you to do something about them? And I was like, Lord, give me the opportunities, I promise. And that's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it. If we're going to pray for a personal revival, then he's going to give us things in our own life because we grow through helping others. It isn't just personal. We grow through helping others. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. He started revival. He came off out of heaven, became a man. He humbled himself. He found out what it was like to literally walk in our shoes. And then he made himself available to people to the point of death. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Sandy, I sent my son. I sent him here to make a difference. And when he made a difference, it cost him everything. Can you make a difference to the point of costing you everything? I was like, wow, Lord, that's asking a lot of anybody. But Lord, if I want to be all the best that I can be, if I want to be that walking revival, then I need to make myself available to help others even when they mock me or belittle me. Guys, we walk in a bubble a lot. Unless you're out there really in the world, there's a lot of people that hate us, hate Christianity, who think we're really not so smart, not so good. When I go to California and I do our Hope Restored in California, we go up to a little town called Sonora. It has been known for years as a real satanic mecca where they do a lot of crazy stuff up there. And when we go in the fall, a lot of times, because we always do a fall, we just got back from California, and they're out there dressed, and they have the Halloween walk, and they'll do the mash. What do you call it when everybody goes nuts and they come out of nowhere? One of those. Where all of a sudden you think everybody is somebody, whatever, but all of a sudden they turn in and they're dancing and singing and they just come out of nowhere to do something. But they do that in satanic ways. All of a sudden you're in the store and they're just doing these things and it's like, wow, this isn't everybody starting to sing hallelujah or, you know, amazing grace. This is somebody doing some stuff that's kind of spooky. And I remember walking into this one place and, you know, they just know us by who we walk in the door. And this lady saw me, and it was like she was smiling, and all of a sudden she just looked at me mean. It was like her spirit caught my spirit. And then I caught hers real quick. It's like, okay, I know exactly what I'm looking. I'm looking at the face of evil. It's like, you're not going to intimidate me. But you know there was a time in my life you could. But not anymore. Because I have learned to be able to walk and be revived in spirit, to be able to be stronger in heart, to make a difference where I walk. And now where I walk, I sometimes stir things up just because Jesus is inside of me. And that is something that you can do. You can walk into a building, it's like, there's something different about that person. There's something different about that person that's in here. There's a scripture that is used many times when it comes to revival, and it's Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground in here. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. there are times when we just get, I remember just not long ago, I teach a real estate class, and so this person was coming in and talking about things that he'd seen, and one of the things he'd seen was the Oregon Trail, and you can still see where the Oregon Trail is, because it had been bounded down and pounded down so much that nothing can grow there. It's still a trail. And the Lord spoke to my heart and says, you know, don't let your heart become the trail. It's been beat down, beat down, beat down so much that nothing will grow there. Because you can put a seed on top of that and it'll just wash away. And Lord says he wants us to break that up inside of us, because maybe we've become hardened. Or maybe we're just like, why do I want to be this Christian? What difference can it make? And Lord says, if I can break that up in you and soften that up and allow my spirit to get inside of you so it can make a difference in your heart and life, it will make a difference. And then when I plant that seed in that broken up ground, that ground that was fallowed and broken, we need to break it up, and then we can see what the Lord is going to do. And if we want true revival, we need to examine ourselves and find areas where we have lack or where we need to repent. Repentance. Repentance means to change our ways, change our minds, to go in a different direction. It means to be sorry for past actions or past inactions. Things he's told us to do and that we didn't do. Things that we did and wish we hadn't have done. And now the enemy just says, but you are this person. You can't be a Christian because you did this, this, and this. Well, thank God for grace and mercy. None of us would be in here. None of us would be in here. I mean, there is no perfect person. Absolutely no perfect person. And if the enemy is saying, you can't be because, it's like, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. I mean, seriously, that's what grace and mercy is. Grace and mercy every single day. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, as a kid, I memorized that probably 10 different times, 10 different ways, and 10 different classes. I can't remember things like Pastor can. He can get up here and just start reading the Bible off, and it's not up here. Some people can. I can't. But I have had to remember this over and over and over. And when I started going through this again yesterday, as when I was writing this one down, it was like the Lord said, Sandy, I'm asking you to share that I want them to present their bodies a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? That means to die daily, to die daily. I was listening to this guy do a sermon, and I think I've probably listened to it at least 3 or 4 times. And he asked the question, you know, is God still real today? Is God still alive today? Because if he is, what he did in the first century through his son Jesus and through the Old Testament, he raised the dead. Can you imagine if we walked into a place and somebody had just died and we prayed for them and they got up, what would happen today? But that happened when Jesus walked. You know, how about, you know, the lepers totally cleansed? How about the lame totally walking? There are things that God did in the earlier days, and I've had people say, but that was the early church. Excuse me, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I personally have seen people healed of certain things, seriously serious things. One of my buddies was praying for somebody, and this kid had sutures in his eyes. He had just had, and his eye was a mess. And as he was praying for him, those sutures just came right off of his eye and came right out of his onto his face. And the people are going, whoa, what? And it's like, God did that. My friend didn't do that. My friend didn't heal that man. But God did, and God still does things today. And he's saying to us, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means to die. You don't sacrifice something unless it dies. I mean, you sacrifice something, it dies. Well, what do you mean, Sandy, you want me to die? Well, Jesus told the people, if you're going to follow me, you have to die. And they turned around and walked away. 1,000 people walked away because he says you have to die. Well, what he means is to ourselves every single day. If we're going to have revival in our heart and in our life, that means every day we have to renew our mind. My gosh, if you guys watch any television at all anymore, which is really difficult to do, without having to renew my mind, because it seems like they're putting stuff in every single program that is, I mean, stuff that I couldn't even say as a kid without feeling bad is acceptable today. I know I'm getting older, but now I look at what's going on, it's like, wow. Every single day there are things that are combating us, coming at us, that are, even just getting in the car sometimes, I have to ask for forgiveness for what somebody just pulled in front of me or whatever. Lord, forgive me what I just thought of that person. Yes, I wave with all hands. I'm good, but forgive me for what I thought of that person. I have to renew my mind daily because I get angry sometimes. Sometimes things frustrate me. Somebody frustrates me. You know, somebody that I have to deal with on a regular basis. It's like dripping water. It's like, God, just give me more peace, more patience. Like, no, no, not more patience because I have to deal with that more. Just help me. And sometimes it's a daily task. And if I'm not careful, that starts getting compacted back down again. And then the Lord's saying, wait a minute, whoa. You know, he's saying that we have to be acceptable to him, and that's our reasonable service. Reasonable service means that's all I ask. I mean, that's, I came and died for you. If I came and died for you, it's your reasonable service that you will be good, that you will be kind, that you will care about people, that you will make a difference in those that are around you, and it's not all about Sandy. That's your reasonable service. Repentance is never a fun process. It's not pleasant to find out how God really sees us. When I went through that situation where that lady was coming, and it took about 2 months before she was going to be there, and in about 2 months, I was ready to stop praying that prayer because everybody had something to say to me about what I was or wasn't doing or how I acted or didn't act. It was like, okay, I get the picture. I'm not perfect. It's not a fun process, but it's an important process. To be real with God and say, God, I want to repent, but I don't even know really what to repent. So show me, God, how you see me. And then step back and be prepared, because he will show you. This is what I see. And how are you willing to do something about it? Well, think about it. No, wait a minute. If you ask me to help you, Sandy, that means you need to do something about it. Okay, then I will be nicer to that person. I will invite her to dinner. I will go, I mean, all these things that you're just get compacted. I don't want to do. And God's saying, if you want to be the person I want you to be, if you want to be the walking revival, then you need to clean up your act. And that means there are times when I'm praying for people, because when we have our meetings, I will pray for the different people. And every once in a while, the Lord will show me, it's like he is taking off this garment that they have been wearing. And it's like it's been shot through holes in it, and it's like he takes that dirty garment that's been beaten up and puts a brand new white garment on them, pure white, starting all over. And that's what the Lord was speaking to my heart for today for you. He wants to do that for us today. Some of us have been just beat down. Some of us have been just torn apart. It's like, God, how many more things do I have to take? And he says, until you die, a few more. It's life. And it's not because something's fair or not fair, but he went to the cross. Was that fair? Who on earth are we to say that's not fair to a God that put his son on the cross and had to hang there? That wasn't fair. What are we thinking when we say that's not fair? Because God knows that's not fair. He recognizes what things that we're going to go through is not fair. But at the same time, he wants us to grow through those things. If I wanted to get strong, I wouldn't go pick up 50 pounds 10 times because tomorrow I couldn't even lift that arm. I will go pick up a 10 pound and I will run that thing about 10 times. We're doing Christian yoga. Everybody goes, you're doing yoga. Ooh, ooh. No, Christian, because we have Christian music playing and she's talking about the Lord the whole time. But I will tell you, the first night I got out there, man, I'm stretching and doing like the pretzel thing and the down doggy and kitty and all this stuff. And my hip killed me the next day. I thought, what are you thinking, woman? So this week when we went, I'm going, okay, I recognize who I am and what I am. I'm a half down dog. I'm a nice tame kitty. I will do these things in order. And that's what the Lord is saying. Don't get all excited and I'm just going to go out and tell everybody that hates me I love you anyway. You know, he wants you to go out there and do it in a manner that will be something you can grow into. Walk into it, but walk. Don't just say, I can't do it, it's too big. If you look at the, sometimes my house gets to a point where it's like, I don't know. The Lord says, just look at the corner and work on the corner and then work to the next corner. Don't look at the whole dang thing, because you will, my office is the perfect example. Don't look at the whole thing, start in the corner and then work yourself to the next, because if you look at the whole thing, you'll walk out and say, I can't do this. This is too much. But the Lord's saying, when he starts showing us areas and we start seeing ourselves, don't go, oh, I can't do all this. Well, by yourself, you can't, number one. But take it little steps, baby steps, and grow in him. But don't be afraid of repentance. It's a process. It's not a fun process, but it is a process. Another thing that he was putting in my heart, and that is, yes, revival for ourselves personally, but guys, revival is more than just about us. It's about our community. Revival is about bringing people into church and not stealing them from another church just because we have a better church, we think. It is meaning going out and bringing people in who don't know Jesus, don't have a place to go. We don't want to go and take somebody from somewhere else. We want to go and bring somebody in that maybe would like to go to church, but they're not. You know, or don't even realize, you know, what it means to go to church. So I will tell you, I have a hero in this building. He's going to probably laugh at me. But I do have a hero in this building. His name is Pastor Henry. Pastor Henry cannot even go to a yard sale without everybody at that place knows who Jesus is and knows where our church is. And oftentimes they come here because I've seen them from the yard sales come to our church. Seriously. And it's like, I want to be like Pastor Henry. He's my hero. The thing is just stepping out. I have people then say to me, because I've done it myself, that's their gift, not mine. Excuse me. That has nothing to do with giftings. That has to do with, are we ashamed of our God or what? And it's like, oh, I don't know how to share my faith. Do you love Jesus? Yeah. Can you say you love Jesus? Yeah. Well, why do you love Jesus? Because he's good to me. Because he loves me. Because he protects my family. Wow, you just shared your faith. You just shared your faith. I was talking with my mom. My mom's here till December the 5th. I'm so happy. I grabbed her, and it's like I told her, they just don't have any more flights home until later. Imagine that. So she agreed. And we've been talking and sharing, and we were talking about a revival that took place in the town that we were, she's still living in and I was a part of forever. And we were talking about that revival. That was like in the 70s. Would you say 70s, Mom? We're still talking about that revival in that church. There were people touched and saved and filled with baptism and Holy Spirit and healed, and lives totally turned around at that revival. It was amazing. And before I even knew I was going to be speaking about revival, Lord brought that back to my mind this weekend. And he was saying, remember when you're talking about that revival? That was, why was that such a big deal? Because the power and presence of God was in that place. I mean, people got turned around, and it was amazing. But he's saying he wants that in us personally. He wants his power and his presence to walk with us where we go so that we're that walking revival. When we walk into that place, it's like, whoa, something just changed. The atmosphere just changed. How do we do that? First, we have to look at our hearts and our minds. We have to ask the Lord to show us what he sees when he looks at us. Not a fun thing. I can say from experience, but now every January, honest to goodness, I do my very best to have an inventory. I will ask God, take inventory of me, show me the areas where I've picked up. Now, I'm not going to say I don't do this all year long. Be honest with you, I don't. But I try and do it at least in January. God, show me the areas of my heart and my life. What have I picked up this year that you don't like? What are some of the areas that I've become hardened to? Where are some of the areas? And you know what? He's good at his word. He is good at his word. Second, we must ask God to forgive our sins when he reveals areas in our lives that need work. If there's areas that he says, okay, I'd like for you to start here. Not a big thing, Sandy. Just work on this area here. If he shows us areas that we can work, it's like if we ask him, then do it. Just say, I'll do it later, but thank you for telling me. thanks for showing up and give me your what you want me to do. And it's like, how do you know? How do you know what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to change? Trust me, if you ask him, he will begin to help make you aware of certain thing in your life. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. He may not speak to you and say, Sandy, don't do that. It's like your kid. Don't do that. Don't do that. He'll just say, when you start doing it, you know it's not the right. Turn that channel. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Be nice over there. All of a sudden, you're starting to be corrected, and you know it. Don't throw that aside. That's the Holy Spirit that's just gently correcting you. And listen and obey. Third, we must be able to trust. He must be able to trust us to hear him and then follow him. If he's going to begin revival in us, he said to me very specifically, can I trust you with it? Meaning, if he's going to begin to help me to do these things, can he trust me to really do them? If I'm going to bless you, can I trust you to be able to take it and make it work in your heart and your life? And I'm going to say, yes, God, if you're willing to step out, if you're willing to show me, if you're willing to help me recognize that, then, Lord, I promise you, you can trust me with what you give me. Fourth, we must not be afraid of what he may ask us to do. Like, don't ask me to go to Africa. You know, don't ask me to knock on somebody's door and invite them to church. You know, don't ask me that somebody's in front of me and their kids are all messed up and maybe you have an extra $5, $10 and maybe you should just let her have it because, you know, she doesn't look like she has much. I mean, whatever it is, if he says do it, don't think, don't be me. This lady that I thought would probably hit me, the biker lady, that was me. I was afraid. And I'm like, now it's like, if he asks me to do something, that pops into my head. And I don't want to be that person that I'm telling the story 40 some years later, what I did wrong. That's not a good thing. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. I'm not saying the devil does it, because flesh sometimes is just afraid. You know, I'm not going to blame everything on the devil. Sometimes I am personally afraid. But here's the thing. The enemy can give us pause if the Lord says, I'd like for you to speak to that person. I was like, oh, you don't want to talk to that person. Oh, you're right. She looks kind of scary. Yeah, she'll probably hit your little body. It's like, yeah, better not do that. And it's like, wait a minute, if the thought comes and I know it's God, then God will give me the strength to make it happen. If he asks us to speak to someone coming to church, ask them. You know, just say, you know, I want to tell you about my church. You know, this is where we are, this is what we do. And it doesn't have to be a long sermon. It can be, you know, you can carry a little card. Here's where we go to church. Just letting you know, just in case you don't have a church, and you can do it real fast at first. Here, take a card. Look at it, and I'll talk to you later. Never see him again. But start somewhere. Have something. Mark 8:38 says, for whosoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, and aren't we ever living in an adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes into his glory in front of his Father and the holy angels. I want my Heavenly Father to say, well done, Sandy, I'm proud of you. Seriously, that's one of the biggest things. It's like, I will say, oh, Abba Father, Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit living inside of me, I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I don't want you to be ashamed of me because I'm afraid to talk about you. I don't want you mad at me because you gave me an opportunity and I was afraid to do it, because I trust you to give me the strength to do that. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. I had this guy was saying the, you know, about the pagans. And it's like, ooh, pagans. Wait a minute. In the Jewish eyes, we're pagans because we're Gentiles, because we're not Jewish. You're either Jewish or Gentiles, pagans. And my thought was, oh, that's an awful thing. Wait a minute. We are grafted in. We're not Jewish, but by blood necessarily, but we're grafted in, we're adopted in. We're a part of the body, we're a part of Jesus who is Jewish. We're a part of all of that. So the Jew first, but us too. He gave us that opportunity. He gave us that. And then lastly, ask God for revival. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, guess what? He would like revival in you. He would like revival in this body. He would like revival in our community. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked. I promise you, if you say, God, fix me, he's going to be thrilled. Can you imagine as a parent if your kid goes, I know I messed up, fix me. It's like, oh, I'll help you, kid. Whatever you need, I'll help you. Well, he's our Abba Father. And if we're saying, God, help me be all I can be. Help me be the best I can be. Help me to be the best kid you have on your team. I want that in my life. I want you to say, well done, Sandy. I'm proud of you. Thank you, Sandy. Oh, I remember one time we were getting ready to do one of our first retreats in California. So this was like back in the early 90s. And we were having a meeting, and we were up in the hills, and just we're walking around praying. And the Lord gave us a word, and he says, I'm proud of you. And I was like, what? And then he said, and thank you. Like, you're proud of us, and you're thanking us? It's like, wow. That really, I never, ever forgot that, because he wanted us to know, thank you for being the hand extended, being the mouthpiece for me, being the feet that go out and help those that need help. He said, thank you. And I was like, wow, that just really touched me. If we're willing to go and be what he wants us to be, he's going to be grateful, because we're doing the things he wants done, and we got to be the hands extended so he can actually do them. Can you imagine our Heavenly Father saying thank you? I want to be that kid of his that he's grateful that I'm around. Not the ones like, oh, here she comes. Sandy's back. Matthew 7:7-11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, I'm going to give you a serpent? If you then, being evil every day, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Oh, God, that just touches my heart. I have to ask you, does your God today still heal? Does your God today still raise the dead? Does your God today still save nations? Mine does. In Hosea, we started off reading Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Break it up. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have for us, for the blessings that you give us every single day. Now, God, help us to be good kids of yours and to be what you want us to be able to come to you and say, Abba, Father, help me out. Show me areas that I can be better, to be the best dad, to be the best husband, to be the best mom, to be the best daughter, son, to be the best leader, Father God. Help us, Father God, to be the best that you can be so that you can look down on us and say, God, thank you. Thank you. I got kids that are actually working and doing what I need done. Father, that's who we want to be. We want our daddy to be proud of us. Thank you, Father, for this day and your provision, for the opportunity to be able to stand in the pulpit and share. People across the world would give anything to have the freedom to be able to do what I just did, and we pray for them this day too. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.